When the Lion Feeds, The Courtneys, Book 1, written by Wilbur Smith and read by Sean Barrett.
Part 1. Natal. Chapter 1. A single wild pheasant flew up the side of the hill, almost brushing the tips of the grass in its flight. It drooped its wings and hung its legs as it reached the crest and then dropped into cover. Two boys and a dog followed it up from the valley. The dog led, with his tongue flopping pink from the corner of his mouth, and the twins ran shoulder to shoulder behind him. Both of them were sweating in dark patches through their khaki shirts, for the African sun still had heat, although it stood half-mast down the sky. The dog hit the scent of the bird, and it stopped him quivering. For a second he stood sucking it up through his nostrils, and then he started to quarter. He worked fast, back and forth, swinging at the end of each tag, his head down and only his back and his busy tail showing above the dry brown grass. The twins came up behind him. They were gasping for breath, for it had been a hard pull up the curve of the hill.
"Keep out to the side, you'll get in my way,"
Sean panted at his brother, and Garrick moved to obey. Sean was his senior by 4 inches in height and 20 pounds in weight. This gave him the right to command. Sean transferred his attention back to the dog.
"Put him up, Tinker. Seek him up, boy."
Tinker's tail acknowledged Sean's instructions, but he held his nose to the ground. The twins followed him, tensed for the bird to rise. They carried their throwing sticks ready and moved forward at a stealthy pace at a time, fighting to control their breathing. Tinker found the bird, crouched flat in the grass. He jumped forward, giving tongue for the first time, and the bird rose. It came up fast on noisy wings, whirling out of the grass. Sean threw. His kerry whipped past it. The pheasant swung away from the stick, clawing at the air with frantic wings, and Garrick threw. His kerry cartwheeled up, hissing, until it smacked into the pheasant's fat brown body. The bird toppled, feathers flurried from it, and it fell. They went after it. The pheasant scurried, broken-winged, through the grass ahead of them, and they shouted with excitement as they chased it. Sean got a hand to it. He broke its neck and stood laughing, holding the warm brown body in his hands, and waited for Garrick to reach him.
"Ring-a-ding-a-doody, Gary, you sure gave that one a beauty!"
Tinker jumped up to smell the bird, and Sean stooped and held it so he could get his nose against it. Tinker snuffled it, then tried to take it in his mouth, but Sean pushed his head away and tossed the bird to Garrick. Garrick hung it with the others on his belt.
"How far do you reckon that was? 50 feet?
Garrick asked. "Not as much as that," Sean gave his opinion. "More like 30.
"I reckon it was at least 50. I reckon it was farther than any you've hit today."
Success had made Garrick bold. The smile faded from Sean's face.
"Yeah?"
he asked.
"Yeah,"
said Garrick. Sean pushed the hair off his forehead with the back of his hand. His hair was black and soft, and it kept falling into his eyes.
"What about that one down by the river? That was twice as far."
"Yeah?"
asked Garrick.
"Yeah,"
said Sean truculently.
"Well, if you're so good, how did you miss this one, hey? You threw first, how come you missed, hey?"
Sean's already flushed face darkened, and Garrick realized suddenly that he had gone too far. He took a step backwards.
"You'd like to bet?"
demanded Sean. It was not quite clear to Garrick on what Sean wished to bet, but from past experience he knew that whatever it was, the issue would be settled by single combat. Garrick seldom won bets from Sean.
"It's too late. We better be getting home. Pa will clobber us if we're late for dinner."
Sean hesitated, and Garrick turned, ran back to pick up his kerry, then set off in the direction of home. Sean trotted after him, caught up with him, and passed him. Sean always led. Having proved conclusively his superior prowess with the throwing sticks, Sean was prepared to be forgiving. Over his shoulder, he asked,
"What colour do you reckon Gypsy's foal will be?"